Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guests on this edition are Senior Program Specialist for the Department of Public Health Sciences and Southern Area Health Education Center, Bob Nosbisch, and Programs Operations Director for NMSU's Southern Area Health Education Center, Beatriz Favela. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
And we're here to talk about promotoras, community health workers, and other things that SOAHAC gets involved with. And how long has SOAHAC been in the community?
Southern Area Health Education Center is a collaboration between UNM and New Mexico State University. And we belong to the College of Health and Social Services.
And Bea, how long have you been involved with the program?
I have been at SOAHAC for a little over 5 years.
And Bob, do you want to tell us more?
It was formed in 1986, and it has grown and expanded quite a bit to cover a variety of different things. I joined B's staff in January. I split my time between the Southern Area Health Education Center and between the Department of Public Health Sciences. Both, as B was saying, both are under the College of Health and Social Services. They both have different functions, different missions.
Well, let's find out what the functions are of these organizations and how they help the community.
Okay. First of all, Southern AHEC is a pipeline for health careers. One thing we do, Emily, is we go into middle schools and we talk with the eighth grade students there and get them excited about possibly pursuing a career in health for a lot of reasons. Number one, there's the need for people to go into health careers. By the year 2020, for example, we're going to have a shortage of 800,000 registered nurses. The need for pharmacists continues to increase, but also the needs for people in other areas of health as well. And the reason why we target eighth graders is because this gives them time to meet with their counselors, with their school counselors, to come up with a blueprint, come up with a plan as to what courses they need to take in high school in order to get into college, if they want to be a nurse, if they want to go to medical school, etc. We tell them the importance of taking math, taking science classes, taking computer science, and taking 4 years of English as well. And many times back when I was an eighth grader, we didn't have things like this. Pretty much the goal of eighth graders were to be promoted into ninth grade. And then that was somebody else's responsibility. That was another school's onus or burden to take care of us as ninth graders.
So your target audience then are eighth graders.
Well, that's only one component, and that's talking with the eighth graders. So there's not a drop-off between students finishing eighth grade and then starting college with that 4 years in between not being used very wisely or very effectively. This lays the groundwork so they know, well, in ninth grade and in 10th grade, I need to take these math or science classes or computer science or English classes, and 11th and 12th grades I need to as well. We also tell them the importance of other things such as volunteering, doing well on their ACT and SATs, getting involved with school activities. People love to see that. And what this does is this will prepare the students to be able to go not just to any college, but the higher the ACT scores or SAT scores, then they might be able to get into some of the top universities in the country. So that's one thing we do. Another thing we do, in addition to the health education of eighth graders, is we teach community health workers called promotoras. People who live in rural underserved communities, the promotoras, we target them as well, about healthy lifestyles. We work with, as B was saying, we have a collaboration with the University of New Mexico School of Medicine. We support the doctors in training through their programs as well. We go into retirement homes and we teach them about things like chronic disease self-management. So it's a variety of different people and in different areas. And basically what we are is we are one of the parts of the College of Health and Social Services that's very involved with the community. We have the strong link. And when I say the community, I don't just mean Doñana County, but I mean other counties in southern New Mexico also.
Now, Bob, you've already covered some of the areas as for the history of what the Southern Area Health Education Center does. And B, do you want to tell us more about what the programs are being offered?
Yes. Well, first of all, the Area Health Education Center program is a national network. All the states in the nation have at least two centers. New Mexico has three centers, and we're one of them. We cover 13 counties in southern New Mexico. And what we do is all the AHEC programs have the same goals, but we're all different and very unique in the sense that the work happens in our communities, and each community is different and has different needs. And therefore, the programs will look different. So Bob already covered health career promotion. He talked about our support to medical students and the residents. And we also promote and sponsor or even coordinate CEU events for licensed professionals in the health field. We want to support them by providing low cost and many times free of cost workshops where they can earn continuing education credit units. And so what happens is we try to promote everything that has to do with the health field. Another program that we have is we work in our communities with a chronic disease self-management program. In New Mexico, we are calling it MYCD, which stands for Manage Your Chronic Disease, MYCD. And so what happens, this is a very interesting program. It's evidence-based, and we do offer it in both English and Spanish to our community members. And basically what we do is we provide education and give community members the tools that they need to manage a chronic condition.
Bob, would you like to add to that?
I actually think that B covered quite a bit of it. To go just into a little bit of detail about some of the specific topics we've addressed, in the past we've had a diabetes prevention initiative, we've had a hand washing initiative, health careers programs with the Gadsden Independent School District and also with the Hatch Public Schools. This year, so far, we visited three middle schools, Zia, Picacho, and El Camino Real, and we plan to visit more middle schools in the southern and southeastern part of the state. A health literacy project we've done, as Bea was saying, the Alzheimer's disease training and other chronic disease self-management. We also have a program called Healthy Homes, and what a lot of people don't realize is just how dangerous their homes may be. For example, people know about, you know, if there's smoke inside their home, then that's dangerous, or if they have a board that's sticking up in front of their yard that someone can trip over and fall, that's dangerous. But they don't think about things like Venetian blinds, the cords that hang down, how a little curious toddler can choke himself if he gets that wrapped around his or her neck. Other things such as this, the Healthy Homes Project, where we, going back to the promotoras, we teach them, and then they go back to places that are considered rural, maybe Berrino, maybe Vado, maybe Chaparral, places like that. And then they, in turn, teach the citizens of those communities how to check for certain smells in the house or the dangers of pesticides, for example, with pregnant women. All kinds of things like this that have to do with the environment and environmental dangers that can affect the health of someone. And by teaching the promotoras, they, in turn, teach their people in their community because they've already established that connection because they live right there in that community. So that's another thing we do. And Emily, one thing that I'd like to say is, you know, there's so much emphasis on the shortage of nurses and the shortage of people who take care of things after the problem is there. You break a bone, you go see a nurse. You sprain your ankle, you go see a nurse. You don't feel good because of a poor diet or lack of exercise or combination, you go see a nurse. What we do, though, is we're on the prevention side of the fence. And by doing all these teachings, we try to teach people that you can avoid costly doctor visits, expensive hospital visits, and things like this by doing these things, by having a healthy home, by living a healthy lifestyle, by eating and drinking, you know, the right things. And this will reduce your chances of chronic diseases such as diabetes, things like that.
So these are the preventative health measures.
Yes. And what happens is once the number of doctor visits and hospital visits goes down, that in turn should decrease healthcare costs as well. There's so much more people can do to live longer and to feel better and to be healthier. It's just them having the knowledge of knowing what to do.
So that also cuts costs of hospital visits, of doctor visits, and it's an economical situation.
Sure.
As well.
Absolutely. And not just that, even things like there have been so many reports about how important it is to exercise and about how not just physically how they're going to feel better, but even mentally, even emotionally.
So more of a positive attitude towards life and not focusing on the lack of, but of what you have already.
And that's a good point. And that's especially important nowadays because with so many reasons to sit down with Facebook, with video games, with hundreds of TV channels to choose from, with movies you can watch on TV, with DVDs. There are so many reasons to sit down and not get exercise that we're missing the boat when we don't get the exercise, and in combination with eating right as well. I know many people who have told me that when they constantly exercise, they tend to eat right. But then if they get into that spell where they quit exercising for a while, then suddenly the cookies and the carbonated drinks seem attractive to them. And the problem is, while those things might taste good, they're not really conducive to a good lifestyle. And we all want to live longer.
So what you teach the promotoras, the community health workers, is that the same type of things that you would teach the eighth graders?
No, not necessarily. When it comes to talking to the eighth graders, I think we're promoting the health field, the health careers. And did you know that we have over 300 different careers in the health field? And so that's exactly the type of information that we make sure that we share with the eighth graders, because when it comes to asking them about health careers and what they know, they typically tend to say a doctor, a nurse, a dentist, a vet. And so we want them to make sure that they understand that there's more than that that they can go into. For instance, if they're artists, you know, and they like to draw, they perhaps think that has nothing to do with a health career. But in fact, it does have, because they can be an art therapist. They can be a designer for a commercial or a medication, the design of the box of how a medication is going to look like. And there's so many different other things that they can do when it comes to health careers. And so that's what we promote with the eighth graders. We do also promote the idea of once they become a professional and they graduate, and we, you know, encourage them and we make sure that they know it is possible for them to attend college and graduate from college, is that they come back and they serve their own communities. And so we tell them things like, can you imagine, you know, you coming back as a doctor and you're going to be, you know, a doctor in your community and you're going to be seeing people that you grew up with. And so that's an exciting thing to, you know, look forward to. And so it's something that we encourage them to think about. When it comes to working with the promotoras, we give them the skills to go and educate other community members. The promotoras have a very unique way to connect with community members because they're the lady that lives, you know, right there by my grandma or my sister, and they know the neighbors, they know their community, and therefore, they're people that usually community members trust. And once they're educated, they know that if somebody from their community comes and asks perhaps about a program that can assist them in a situation, perhaps somebody they can educate them on a certain health problem, and the promotora, their desire is that they will be educated and they will be able to help people. And perhaps even if they're not the ones giving them the answers, at least they can refer them to somebody that can. So that's the promotora work that we do.
And is this a volunteer program or is it a paid position?
The promotoras, for the most part, do a lot of volunteer work. However, the promotoras that we work with, we offer them a stipend because we want to make sure that at least they feel appreciated in some ways. The stipend that we provide, by any means, it's not a payment because they do so much for our communities. And quite honestly, Emily, if we did not have those dedicated promotoras in our communities, Southern AHA could not be as successful as we have been in the past.
So the promotoras have been how long in the community?
Promotoras have been around for a long time. The idea of the promotoras started back in the 1950s with the Bracero program. Braceros used to come from Mexico and do farm work here in the United States, and they did not know the language. They did not understand the system, and therefore they did not access health care. And so promotoras, ladies in our community, started noticing that the farm workers needed health care, and they started educating them and providing them a little bit of support, and it was a complete volunteer work. Nowadays, we do have some, but it has become a profession in the health field. They are also very much a professional in the health field.
So if somebody wants to learn more about the promotoras or learn more about the eighth grade, about the education and the careers that are available, in the health careers, who would they contact, Bob?
They could just call our general number, 646-3441. Area code 575. Well, that's the Southern Area Health Education Center. And they could call 646-3441 to see how we can help them and their clients. One of our big challenges at Southern AHEC, Emily, is people don't know where we are. They hear Southern AHEC and they know that we're affiliated with the university, but we're not on the main campus. We're on Geothermal Drive, and that's that road that you take if you're going up to the golf course clubhouse. We're before you get there. We're a little building to the left.
They can also visit our website. It's soahec.nmsu.edu.
So these programs are available year-round, and how often do they?
We're nonstop.
Yes. For example, the Chronic Disease Self-Management Program, Southern AHEC has been doing that program for 10 years now. We started in 2003. So we're very experienced in managing that program. I would like to also mention that we do have another program that has been started or initiated by Southern AHEC with the support of the New Mexico Chapter Alzheimer's Association. We do have an Alzheimer's caregivers training, and the purpose of the program is we know research is telling us that a lot of the times caregivers that are taking care of a family member with a long-term illness tend to not take care of themselves, and therefore they get sick and their health suffers. And so this program is focusing on the caregiver understanding what Alzheimer's or dementia is, some of the stages, how to take care and understand the patient, but most importantly, how to take care of themselves. Because if they're not healthy, they're not going to be able to take care of the loved one. And so this program, however, we're only offering it in Spanish. It's called Cuidando con Respeto, caring with respect. And that's exactly what we teach, because our culture is very much about respect and caring for our parents, our elders.
And why are you only offering it in Spanish?
Because the Alzheimer's Association also has an office here in Las Cruces. They are offering it in English. One of the reasons why we received this, and this is a fairly new translated material, we're piloting, actually, we're the first organization using it in New Mexico. And the reason we're doing the Spanish only is because when it comes to the chronic disease self-management, 90% of the workshops that we offer are in Spanish. And therefore, that gave us the recognition that we could handle this type of program. And so it's in Spanish.
So that's quite a lot that the Department of Public Health Sciences, Southern Area Health Education Center, and the College of Health and Social Services here at NMSU provides.
Yes. And Emily, we want to thank you so much for having us here, because I think our community is not really aware of the resources that New Mexico State University and the College of Health and Social Services offers to our communities. Not just here in Las Cruces, not just here in Doña Ana County, but we have a presence in 10 counties out of the 13 that we serve.
Well, I really appreciate you coming down and talking to us about all of these services that you do offer, which is quite interesting. And we could go into depth about each single one. And I'm really interested about the education on the eighth graders. And do they also get taught about healthy homes, or is this just only about their
careers? Just basically about health careers. And as Bea was saying earlier, when we go into these eighth grade classes and when we say, okay, when you think of a health career, what do you think of? And they'll say doctor, nurse, pharmacist, they might say dentist, they might say chiropractor, but they don't think of things like sports medicine. And so what we'll do is we'll say, how many of you play sports? And usually quite a few of the students will raise their hands, and I'll say, okay, if you've ever been hurt or had a teammate hurt, the person that takes care of them, the athletic trainers, the sports medicine people, these are people, they're in the health field. As Bea was saying earlier, she was talking about the art therapy. Music therapy is another thing. Sometimes it might be hard to connect with a child for whatever reason, and it's the music that brings them out that really helps them blossom. But the opportunities out there, and going back to the talking about the eighth graders, the opportunities out there are limitless. I didn't know until I started working at Southern AHEC about 300 different careers in health, because I would have been able to name maybe about 20 on a good day, and there's 300. Someone might have a knack for engineering, and maybe they can help design prosthetics, a sort of prosthetic that's even more effective and efficient than the current prosthetics we use. So it's not just being a doctor, a dentist, or a nurse. There are lots of other opportunities if you like to write, if you like to draw, if you're a creative type person. Lots of opportunities for people in the healthcare career field. And what we want to do is teach the kids that and say, you know, as Bea was saying, you too can go back when you finish college, go back to your community and be a doctor or be a dentist or be an athletic trainer.
So from teaching eighth graders to teaching adults, quite a range for finding out about health issues, health careers, helping the community. And we really want to thank you for coming on Puentes, which is bridges, and you definitely are a bridge to the community. And again, Bob Nospisch, Senior Program Specialist for Southern Area Health Education Center, Department of Public Health Sciences, and College of Health and Social Services, and Beatriz Favela, Program Operations Director for Southern Area Health Education Center. Thank you so much for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Emily. It's a pleasure.
For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.